From the land to Grand Teton of our city in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 21st day of June 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way, we'll get updates of the crop progress and condition of the corn and soybean crop across Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota, with the state statisticians from each of those regions, and I'll update you on today's agricultural information and news for the afternoon, right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers in Chicago as they finished up lower this afternoon. July corn today down 25 cents at 396 and a quarter. September at 402 and a quarter, down 24 and a half. And December corn at 408 and three quarters, down 25 cents. The March down 23 and three quarters at $4.15 and three quarters. Next year's July, 22 cents lower at $4.22 and three quarters. July beans down 10 and a quarter. $11.33 and a quarter. The settlement price, the August down 12 and three quarters at $11.32 and a half. September 18 and a half, lower down at $11.17 and three quarters. And November beans 22 cents lower at $11.10 and three quarters. January down 23 and a quarter at $11.07 and a half. Next year's July at $10.63 and three quarters, 19 cents lower. Bean oil futures 28 cents lower at $31.66. And the bean meal at $3.93.30, down $9.40. July soft red winter wheat $14, or rather 14 and a half cents lower at $4.58.40. December there at $44.93 and a quarter, down 14 and a quarter. The hard red finished July down 16 and a quarter at $4.35. Live cattle futures in Chicago up 67 and a half cents in the June at $115.17 and a half. The August at $111.50, $1.25 higher. August feeders at $139.10 per 100 pounds, up $2.42 and a half cents, and lean hogs in the July contract at $86.57 and a half, finished 15 cents higher. August were down 20 at $88.75. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. You're listening to Illinois Public Media on this 21st day of June. Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, now joins us to take a look at what happened in Chicago. Thanks for being with us, Wayne. It was a rough day, the second one in Chicago. More rainfall and the markets moved lower. Was there additional pressure from other entities?
Well, I think that, you know, if you look at the outside influences, crude oil down, the dollar down, the dollar rallying along the way, that was a little bit, you know, we had some testimony by Janet Yellen coming out today, not talking about raising interest rates and everything along those lines. So that a lot going on. But basically, it was the weather forecast and going to the door. We even saw a lot of the been very bullish advisory firms even making some sales today. So, but this clearing up, the little weather, green blobs around on the screen, different places. You know, we got some unexpected rain last night, not very much in our immediate area, but the state of Indiana got quite a bit of rain.
Extended losses, long liquidation today then too?
I think that basically along the way with the forecast come here, the funds have been extremely long, number one. Number two, we've got a very big report coming up next week, and when we saw the weather sort of turn to a little bit friendly, they're, you know, this is the end of the quarter, and they're looking at booking a lot of good profits here for now, and they want to lighten that up, so they've got some you know, room to work and put back on their position when we get to the 4th of July weekend and see what the weather's really going to look like for the rest of the summer.
And we're really in the front end of this. We have a lot of weather yet to go before we have a crop in the bin. Will there be other opportunities given what you see in the weather forecast looking forward?
Well, you know, the weather forecast changed quite a bit in the last 48 hours, up and down and around. I mean, if we remember just the end of last week, why it wasn't a very happy, it was like that the weather weather looked bad, and now we're looking good, and we've got a long ways to go yet. I think the Australian Weather Service also stuck out that they thought that the La Nina was moving in slowly or slower than what they'd expected, and also might not be as intense, which is probably one of the other outside things that you're looking at. Also, there's talk that they were loading, and it would be shipping, or the boat coming from South America, from Brazil, with corn coming into our East Coast here in about a month, so when it gets up here. So I think those are some things that sort of, you know, rattled people just a little bit. I think the, you know, the idea that England or the British unit is going to stay in the European Union, or looks to, the polls say, stay in there, also sort of was a risk-off day that helped some of the big money move out of the market.
Will there be follow-through tonight, then, you think, or did we get it all built in?
Well, I think, you know, we closed limit down but bounced off that just a little bit. In the corn, I look for a little stabilization in this area just for the simple fact we did an awful lot in a big hurry, and we've got a lot of weather yet to live through. You know, we need to see that forecast after the 4th of July or after the 1st of July where we can get through pollination time period and what's going on. So I think we'll bounce around a little bit here. We should find some support basically around that 409 area in the Deese corn. That was the old highs, which should act as support until we see a little better forecast. So, and we're right down on top of that. So we look for possibly, you know, a two-sided trade tonight, not just down.
Just as a reminder to folks, because the limits change fairly often anymore, every 6 months, that is, July and December corn were both limit lower. The limit move on corn at this point in time is 25 cents. Producers calling you today asking dire questions or just taking this in stride?
Oh, I think that everybody was wondering what happened, what was the big question mark, what caused all this, and what should I do now? And I think, but in all honesty, I think most of the farmers was probably a quiet day as far as cash marketing along the way. Like I said, there was at least three of the advisory firms that did sell another 10-20% of corn and another 10% of beans on today's setbacks, Todd. So that in itself. The one thing we want to maybe point out is, you know, as we've been going up and we talked about how the beans were ratcheting up, there was a lot of people that sold calls in this market, and they had some tremendously large margin calls on that. And we had margin call buying to buy back those short calls or buy back the short beans. Most of the people have been long this market, the funds and some of the others along the way. Today won't cause them to be on margin call tomorrow. So we won't have that margin call continued selling in the morning. It'll just be if they trip their technical points and they're saying they're going to take profits. So that's the difference of this move.
Anything else we should take up before I let you go for the afternoon?
I'll keep an eye on the weather.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of Sunday, the 19th day of June, 60% of the corn crop was in good condition, 15% in excellent. That's a total of 75% for the week, the same as the previous week. 99% of the soybeans have been planted around the nation, compared to 93% on the rolling five-year average. 89% of that crop is up and growing, the rolling five-year average, 84%. And it's said to be in 61% good, 12% excellent condition. That's actually down one percentage point from the previous week. That percent moved from the good category all the way down to the poor category, just one percentage point. Now, here are the updates from the state statisticians in Minnesota and Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending June 19th. 2016. Very warm conditions and spotty rains prevailed across much of Iowa during the week ending June 19th. High temperatures and lack of precipitation, especially across the southern two-thirds of the state, was stressing crops, with some reports of corn leaves curling. Activities for the week included cutting and baling hay, chemical applications, cultivation, and nitrogen side dressing. Topsoil moisture levels declined from last week and were rated 5% very short, 19% short, 70% adequate, and 6% surplus. Districts in the northern third of Iowa had the highest topsoil moisture levels, with more than 90% rated adequate to surplus, while south central and southeast Iowa reported topsoil moisture levels over 50% short to very short. Soybean emergence reached 97%, 11 days ahead of both last year and the five-year average. Crop condition ratings for corn and soybeans both dropped slightly from last week and now stand at 79 and 80% good to excellent, respectively. 81% of the oat crop was headed by the end of the week, 5 days ahead of last year and 6 days ahead of normal, while the condition of the crop was rated 80% good to excellent. Harvest of first cutting alfalfa hay reached 96% complete, which was more than 2 weeks ahead of the normal pace. Meanwhile, harvest of second cutting alfalfa hay was underway in some areas with 6% already baled. Hay conditions rated 78% good to excellent, and pasture condition fell to 72% good to excellent. Some stress on livestock was reported as a result of the heat. For the USDA NAST Iowa Field Office, this is Greg Tyson reporting.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Temperatures averaged 3 to 6 degrees above normal last week, and rainfall averaged slightly below normal. Northern areas generally received above normal weekly rainfall, but the rest of the state was below normal. Topsoil moisture declined and is now rated 4% very short, 26 short, 66 adequate, and 4% surplus. Growing degree days, accumulated since May 1, are now above average across the state. Winter wheat harvest moved forward significantly and is now 38% finished, well ahead of last year's 2% and the five-year average of 19%. The condition of the crop is now rated 9% very poor to poor, 27% fair, and 64% good to excellent. The Illinois soybean crop is now 96% planted and 88% emerged, very close to normal progress. 1% of soybean acres are now blooming, right on the five-year average. The condition of the crop is rated 5% very poor to poor, 20% fair, and 75% good to excellent. The corn crop condition is rated essentially the same as soybeans, at 5% very poor to poor, 20% fair, and 75% good to excellent. There are no reports of corn silking yet. In other crops, sorghum planting is now 62% complete. Oats are 81% headed. The first cutting of alfalfa hay is now 94% finished. The second cutting is 17% complete, and 91% of other hay has been harvested. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Varying amounts of precipitation were received across Minnesota, resulting in 3.3 days suitable for fieldwork during the week ending June 19, 2016. In many parts of the state, the rains were beneficial and combined with warm temperatures created good growing conditions. Field activities for the week included haying and fertilizer and chemical applications. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 5% very short to short, 74% adequate, and 21% surplus. Minnesota's corn condition was rated with 79% good to excellent. Soybean condition was rated with 76% good to excellent. Nearly half of the spring wheat was at or beyond the heading stage. That's 12 days ahead of the five-year average and 6 days ahead of last year. Spring wheat condition was rated with 64% good to excellent. 52% of the oat crop was at or beyond the heading stage. That's 9 days ahead of average and slightly ahead of last year. Oat condition was rated with 83% good to excellent. That is the Minnesota Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending June 9, 2016. I'm Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Upper Midwest Region.
This is Janice Pressbury with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending June 19, 2016. Rain showers were not substantial enough to prevent the effects of prevailing dry conditions for the season. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.18 to 3.99 inches, with a statewide average of 1.13 inches. Dry, hot conditions during the first part of the week forced corn to root down and caused leaf rolling. Strong winds bent corn over in certain counties. The corn crop is emerging rapidly with 72% in good to excellent condition. Side dressing and spraying herbicides is almost complete. Winter wheat mature was 61% complete this year. Wheat harvest is in full swing with some straw baling going on as well. Soybeans were 96% planted this week. compared to 94% last year and 94% five-year average. Soybeans were 87% emerged compared to 88% last year and 87% five-year average. Farmers continue spraying soybeans. Double crop soybean planting has begun. Recent planted soybeans are in need of more rain in some areas while other fields were underwater. The crop is rated 72% in good to excellent condition. Other activities this week included dairy tours, applying fertilizers, spraying herbicides, running irrigation systems, hauling grain, certifying crops with FSA, mowing side dishes, and cleaning fence rows. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending June 19th, 2016. This is Janice Pressberry reporting.
Our thanks, of course, go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the nation. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. In today's agricultural news, the White House says President Obama will sign a chemical safety bill this week that passed the U.S. House and Senate. Obama will sign the Frank R. Lautenberg Chemical Safety for the 21st Century Act tomorrow morning. The new chemical safety rules are designed to overhaul federal regulation covering thousands of chemicals in daily use. The bill is the first significant update to federal chemical safety law in 40 years. The legislation gives the Environmental Protection Agency authority to evaluate and impose restrictions on chemicals used in everything from dry cleaning to paint thinners. In most cases, that authority preempts states from passing laws to regulate a chemical while the EPA is making its determination. Well, the ChemChina acquisition of Swiss-based Syngenta faces further regulatory review after ChemChina announced changes to the deal's structure. Dow Jones reports ChemChina has secured a $5 billion investment from an arm of CITIC. That's one of China's largest state-owned conglomerates. Because of the changes, ChemChina was forced to refile with the U.S. Committee on Foreign Investment, which reviews deals for national security concerns. ChemChina and Syngenta agreed to a $43 billion takeover earlier this year. And finally today, country star Luke Bryan yesterday announced 8 tour dates that will benefit agricultural students. The singer's 8th annual farm tour, which is set to visit small farming communities in October, will fund agricultural scholarships. At each stop, Bryan says a portion of the ticket proceeds provide college scholarships to students from farming families or students studying agriculture within the community. Bryan, along with the tour sponsor Bayer, will also make a presentation to a local farmer on stage. The farm tour is in connection with his extended play or EP album titled Here's to the Farmer. That's due out in September. The tour will make stops in Arkansas, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Mississippi, Missouri, South Carolina, and Tennessee. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. You know, U.S. agriculture and other sectors could take a big financial hit if Britain decides this week to exit the European Union. A yes vote for Brexit in Britain this week could threaten more than $1 trillion in trade and investment with the United States. That, according to international financial groups, the U.S. is the single largest investor in Britain, considered a gateway to free trade with the EU's 20 member nations. U.S. agriculture is pressing for lower tariffs and an end to GMO and other non-tariff barriers through the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, or TTIP. The American Farm Bureau Federation's Dave Samuelson expects those talks with Brussels to continue, but maybe without the benefits of a deal that includes Britain.
Once they do accomplish, if they leave disentangling themselves from the EU world of trade laws and regulations, however long that may take, years or whatever that is, it's not going to be immediate, of course, but they would then have to make deals with other countries.
He says Britain would have to create its tariff regime and trade regulations and do its own trade deals with the U.S. and other nations. a process that could take years. However, even in the short term, Samuelson says a British exit from the EU could have negative implications for U.S. agriculture.
We sell almost $2 billion of ag and food to Britain each year, and they send us about $2.7 billion. Hopefully that would continue with Britain and whatever new relationship they have. But as part of the EU, those numbers would, of course, be lower.
Britain will vote on Brexit Thursday. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Don Day. He's in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and with Day Weather. Thanks for being here, Don.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, tell me about this rainfall. Right about now, there are a few farmers across a beltway in Illinois, a good portion of Missouri, parts of Iowa, I think. They got rain last night. Some of them got a lot of rain, but the bulk of them probably did not, and they're looking at really much lower prices during the day. Trade in Chicago for corn, and they're wondering, do I get rain to go along with those prices in order to up the ante on the size of my crop? So what do you see for this evening? That's when the next rainfall's due.
Yeah, we're going to have an area of showers and thunderstorms develop again across many areas of central and eastern areas of Iowa, northern and northeast Missouri, and then that's going to get coalesced and will bring rain and thunderstorm activity to portions of northwest and northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin. It's going to be like the last couple of systems, to where it's not going to be widespread rain, but those areas I just mentioned are going to have the best chance for the most consistent rainfall tonight and into the day tomorrow, before we see a pretty good area of rain developing tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night across portions of northern Indiana, Michigan, and portions of northern and northeastern areas of Ohio. This most recent event and what's coming tonight and tomorrow is going to really favor the northern, northwest and northeast areas of the Corn Belt, only brushing the central and southern Corn Belt with a little bit of rain.
That's kind of what I heard, that central Illinois, southern Illinois, parts of southern Indiana, I guess maybe a little bit of Missouri might be missed in that process. How dry are they at this point?
Well, certainly they're drying out, especially with the return to hot conditions. And one thing we're keeping a really close eye on is that heat in the desert southwest. We've got a pattern that's spreading that to heat more east-west than it is north, which is good, as that's at least keeping the real hot, dry weather at bay with an active northern jet stream pattern. And we see that continuing here probably into early next week, where we've got some warm days coming, but no excessive heat.
How has this impacted the Delta and the southwestern growing regions? So, and most of the corn in that southwest would be irrigated, but Delta region for soybeans and some corn there too.
Well, they've been dry. They haven't really gotten themselves into a pattern that's been real wet. A lot of the big rains a few weeks ago that were hammering portions of Texas has stayed away mostly from the Delta region. Now, we do foresee July getting into a pattern that looks more wet for them, but right now they're going to more often than not be hot, muggy, and drier.
Yeah, so longer distance, you see the hot and warmer weather coming back, I take it, by the end of this week, early next week. What after that?
Well, I think we're probably looking at the bigger warmth coming as we get into that first week of July, July 4th and beyond, is when I see some of the heat that's locked up in the far west and southwest to get a little bit more of a punch eastward.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You can always hear him again on our website on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.